Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians 10, 16 through 17. Hear the word of the Lord. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
650 million people, nearly two-thirds of a billion, were watching when the Apollo 11 Eagle Lunar Module landed on the moon, Sunday, July 20th, 1969. The world's eyes were fixed on their television screens. It was arguably one of the most significant and most unifying moments in the history of the world. Characterized by shared awe and wonder, spiritual reflection, and a deep sense of connection across the entire planet. Here's how legendary news anchor Walter Cronkite summarized the moment as he signed off that night. "Well, man's dream and a nation's pledge have now been fulfilled. The lunar age has begun. And with it, mankind's march outward into that endless sky from this small planet circling an insignificant star in a minor solar system on the fringe of a seemingly infinite universe. The path ahead will be long. It's going to be arduous. It's going to be pretty doggone costly." Prophetic words. "But we have begun with a small step for man, a giant leap for mankind," in Armstrong's unforgettable words. Seeing humans land on the moon reflected back something about ourselves. In an unprecedented way, we saw Earth from space and it revealed how connected we actually are. The achievement of humankind was brought together in that one moment, and it was like we were united and connected in a way that we didn't realize. For weeks and really months ahead of this, Buzz Aldrin had anticipated that moment's significance, and he wanted to find a way to capture that sense of sacred connection. And so Aldrin met with his pastor, Dean Woodruff, at Webster Presbyterian Church outside of Houston, and he got special permission to take bread and wine with him into space. The crew would have about an hour, actually, after they had landed and before the famous first steps onto the moon's surface. And in that pause, Aldrin would receive Holy Communion. On that Sunday, the Webster Presbyterian congregation would also be gathered in worship, prepared to join in communion at the exact time Aldrin did, another symbol of their connection and our worldwide communion. Aldrin himself shared what happened in the Guidepost magazine. "We touched down at 3:30 p.m. Now, Neil and I were sitting inside Eagle while Mike circled in lunar orbit unseen in the black sky above us. In a little while after our scheduled meal period, Neil would give the signal to step down to the ladder onto the powdery surface of the moon. Now was the moment for communion. So I unstowed the elements in their flight packets. I put them and the scripture reading that I prepared on a little table in front of the abort guidance system computer. And you see here a picture of the chalice that his pastor had sent along with him. And here is a picture of the scriptures that he prepared. He continues, "I poured the wine into the chalice our church had given me. In the 1/6 gravity of the moon, the wine curled slowly and gracefully up the side of the cup. It was interesting to think that the very first liquid ever poured on the moon and the first food eaten there were communion elements. And so just before I partook of the elements, I read the words which I had chosen to indicate our trust that as man probes into space, we are in fact acting in Christ. I sensed especially strongly my unity with our church back home and with the church everywhere. I read, 'I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me.'" In It is this sense of connection that helps us understand this thing that we share. In our common humanity, in our common image bearing of the divine, in our interdependence and mutuality. It is the discovery that united we stand, divided we fall. It's the discovery that we must learn to live together as brothers and sisters or perish together as fools, as Martin Luther King said. It is the discovery that the right wing and the left wing are attached to the same bird. The lunar landing gave us a glimpse into what we call communion. And by that, we're not just talking about the act of receiving the bread and the juice, but the underlying reality that those elements reveal. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ, Paul writes? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body. That participation in 1 Corinthians is this deeper reality of our connectedness and our shared humanity, our shared sacredness, and the way in which our lives and our actions join together with one another. We participate in life, in the divine drama, we participate in one another, for good or for evil. The word participation here in Greek is the word koinonia. Means to have a share in, or to be invested in, connected to, or to have communion with. It is not this cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks, a koinonia in the blood of Christ. It is not the bread that we break, a koinonia in the body of Christ.
Take courage, hold on, be strong.
What we're speaking to here is this mysterious and even mystical. Deaths, the trips to the mountains, and the trips to the beach, and the glimpses of our connection and significance with one another that happen in regular life. This communion, this koinonia, this connection is something that we all get glimpses of passively unless we learn to see it more actively. And then it can be something we not only notice, experienced afresh the presence of their risen Lord and received sustenance for their lives as disciples. Eventually, the Protestant Church recognized two sacraments, which means vow and promise, that we consider instituted by Jesus himself and then given to the church. Those two are baptism and communion. In baptism, we receive our identity, our mission as Christians.
Yeah.
through history, Christians have tried to put words and doctrine around what is happening in Holy Communion. This can be both helpful and needed, and also dangerous. It's helpful in that we can point each other to something powerful. It can give us language and community around something mysterious, but it's dangerous. Anytime we think we have God figured out, anytime we think we have God contained or explained, God is mystery, infinitely knowable. And so it is a holy mystery. So much of what I've said just now comes straight from our teaching about that, adapted in beautiful language to help us give a sense to what is happening from Christ in us in that moment. I like that. And it comes from the words actually of our communion liturgy, which we will share in a few moments. The word liturgy means the work of the people, and that is an important part of communion as well. We are sharing in the work of Jesus, not just in our acts of service, yes, that, but even in our works of worship, with the goal of bringing us into the fullness of a holy mystery, drawing us into it together. And so as Methodists, we find ourselves living in the tension of two extremes when it comes to communion. The Roman Catholic Church teaches transubstantiation, which is a big word that means that they teach that the bread and the juice are transformed in substance. Trans-substance, physically transformed into the body and blood of Jesus. On the other extreme, some traditions teach communion as more of a memorial meal, a way to remember what Jesus said and did when he offered the bread and the wine to his disciples and when he gave his life on the cross. Remembering is an important part too. So as Methodists, we don't teach that the bread and juice are physically transformed, but we also teach that it is more than just a remembering of what Jesus did. And so I think the right word is the word the scripture gives us, participation. Communion reveals our deep connection to God and to each other. It reveals the presence of Christ with us, and it gives us a glimpse into the thing we are participating in, this thing that we are invited to participate in more fully. In communion, we are invited to notice and then to join more fully in the salvation Jesus offers. Truthfully, each day that you and I have left on earth extends this same invitation. Communion gets us in touch with the deeper reality of our lives, this call up to connection with one another, to participation with one another and God, to communion. Now, we can live like life is about me and getting my way. But communion reveals that that's not true. We can live like people are divided up into groups and into whatever version of us and them. We can live like that's true, but communion reveals that we are far more connected and need each other far more greatly than we realize. We can use our religion to say that we are right and you are wrong and so endlessly separate from one another. But in communion, we catch a glimpse of something else, our connection to and our need for each other. So we could live another way, and communion teaches us this. We could live like life is about me and getting my way, or we can learn to live like life is about God and about God getting his way. We can live dividing people into groups, or we can live like we are brothers and sisters, or that we are actually part of one body, that we are one in Christ and adopted into one family through him. We can use our religion to divide and separate, or we can use our religion to connect and participate, to in fact endlessly make connections between people and what God is doing all around us. And that is actually what the word religion means, by the way. It is from the same Latin root as our word ligament. And the ligaments in our body are the parts that hold all the other parts together. And this is what our faith must do as well. Our religion, in fact, must be a call to communion. Our faith must be a call and a challenge to actively make connections, to more fully participate, to join up. Throughout the ages, there have been those whose lives could only be characterized by this communion. This is seen most clearly, of course, in Jesus, whose life was unbroken connection with God and communion with others. Others have followed in the same way of Jesus. I remember hearing someone speak of Archbishop Desmond Tutu in South Africa, someone who had a perspective on his daily life. They said that the most notable thing about Tutu was that he doesn't prepare for his speeches, or he doesn't step in or out of roles in his public and private life. They described it more that he is just somehow participating in the things of God wherever he goes, which means that he demonstrates this almost supernatural ability to be ready in any moment, to be present to God and to join God, which we might also call rising to the occasion. And this comes through a life of prayer, of great compassion for others, a commitment to courage and justice, and an ongoing commitment to sharing in Holy Communion and worship. And so, in February of 1988, Tutu was arrested for protesting the South African racist system of apartheid. A few weeks later, he was preaching in St. George's Cathedral in the heat of the tension around apartheid when the South African security police interrupted the worship service. Jim Wallace was there, and he writes how the crowd came, the protesters came with notepads and tape recorders preparing to catch this spiritual leader in an act of subverting the government. And so Tutu stopped the sermon, and he looked at the intruders as they lined the walls of his cathedral. Wallace writes, "After meeting their eyes with his steely gaze, the church leader acknowledged their power, but reminded them that he served a higher power, greater than their political authority. 'You are very powerful,' he said, 'but I serve a God who cannot be mocked.' And then, in this extraordinary moment of clarity and connection, in this extraordinary moment of challenge to political tyranny, Bishop Tutu said this to the representatives of the South African apartheid: 'And so, since you have already lost, I invite you today to come and join the winning side.' He said it with a smile on his face and an enticing warmth in his invitation," Wallace writes, "but also with a clarity and a boldness that took everyone's breath away." The congregation's response was electric. The crowd was literally transformed by the challenge to power. And instead of cowering in fear to these armed guards, the crowd began to worship. They got up from their seats. They went outside and they began to dance in the streets. And of course, the police officers were not prepared for this moment, this act of communal worship. They expected a fight. And so, not knowing what to do, they did nothing. And Wallace writes, "They backed up to provide the space for the people of faith to dance for freedom in the streets of South Africa." Communion is an invitation to this divine dance, the dance of freedom in the streets of Bowling Green, Kentucky, a participation in the love and justice and hope and healing and subversion and salvation of a God who cannot be mocked, an invitation to join the winning side. Communion is a koinonia with each other in the religion of putting the world back together, of living with a lunar landing awareness of our connectedness, a growing sense of our connection, and a sharing in the life, death, and resurrection in the body of Christ. Would you come and join the winning side? Amen.